of Romans chapter 6. Listen carefully to God's word. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, who becomes a Christian, is led by one of his helpers named Interpreter. Interpreter is the one who interprets the Bible for Pilgrim. Interpreter takes Pilgrim and he leads him by the hand into, quote, a very large parlor that was full of dust because it had never been swept. Interpreter then and Pilgrim looked into the room. Interpreter called for a man with a broom to sweep out the room. And so he came in and he began to sweep and to sweep. And yet all it did was stir up the dust and made it worse until one could hardly see the nose on his face. And so Interpreter called for another man. A second man came in, and this man brought water. And Interpreter said, sprinkle the water in the room. And he sprinkled it. And then he took cloths and wiped it. And then he took a broom and he swept it. And sure enough, the room became clean. Pilgrim was puzzled, as you might be, at this particular allegory. But then Interpreter explained the meaning of the dusty room to the Christian by explaining the meaning of Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7. The dusty room is your heart. When a person becomes a Christian, he is given a new room, as it were, a heart, a new heart. He is responsible to keep his heart clean. Paul had been talking about justification by faith in chapter 5 of Romans. He says in the first verse of chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that we are saved by virtue of the fact that you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You believed, and His goodness and His righteousness was imputed to your account in the kingdom of heaven. You could not earn it. You could not work for it. What Adam could not do in his disobedience, Jesus Christ did in his obedience for you. You are justified by faith. Verse 21 of chapter 5. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was chapter 5. He is talking about justification. He is talking about that act of God whereby you are accepted as pure and holy and righteous in God's sight. But then in chapter 6, Paul moves on to talk about sanctification. He is talking about what someone raised, as someone raised a question in verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, since you and I are saved by grace, Paul anticipated someone raising the question, well, if grace really appears in a greater degree where sin is great, therefore, I ought to continue to sin in order to have more grace. Do you know that there are interpreters and there were preachers, and there, both in the New Testament era, following the New Testament era, and today, who preach just that? It sounds absurd to you, but it sounds logical. And so Paul begins talking about sanctification. Someone accused him, in essence, of being, using a technical term, antinomian, anti-against nomian law. Now, let me tell you that if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, sometime sooner or later, someone is going to accuse you of being against any standard or keeping the law. It is almost a compliment for it to be said of you that you are against the law if you preach grace, if you teach grace. Someone is going to say, well, you are just doing away with the law. But Paul corrects that thinking. I said that the room is the heart of the Christian, and when a person becomes a Christian, he is given a new room, he is given a new nature, but at the same time, he maintains the old nature. The new nature is described in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who is died has been freed from sin. You have a new nature. But let me tell you something shocking. You have an old nature that Paul speaks of when he confesses in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. Then look at the alarming confession. I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. There are these two natures. There is the new room, and yet there is dust in the room. There is the new nature. There is the old nature. My responsibility as a Christian is to engage in the great adventure, in the great challenge of cleaning up, of sweeping out the new room that has been given to me, that it may become as pure as I am in God's sight. You see, the new nature is complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. I am complete in Him. I am accepted in the Beloved. I can never improve on my acceptance before God. But what Christ has done for me, that being complete, does not mean that what Christ will do in me is complete. I must become practically what I am legally. My legal position is one of the acceptance and standing before God, but my conscious condition often is far from feeling acceptance and godly and holy. In fact, it's just the opposite. It has to do with what Paul said. I am carnal. For the things that I want to do, I do not do. And the things that I do not want to do, those are the very things I do. You know what I mean, don't you? For what you intended to be and what you intend to do every day, and how you intended to respond, and what you intended to say, and how you intended to live. Look at yourself. You have the same problem that I do, that Paul did. My legal position is described in 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead as by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. But then look at Paul's confession in chapter 7. But I am carnal. My responsibility is to sweep the room, the Christian life, not your room, my room. The Christian life boils down to this one question that Paul raises in chapter 6, verse 16. He says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness?" So the question is, whose slave are you anyway? The dust represents indwelling sin. It represents that residue of the old man that is left in you, that continues to clutter up what God has made. Even when the dust is seemingly removed, if you turned on a spotlight in that room, you know what you would see? The air full of all kinds of dust particles. So no matter how clean you think you are, when the spotlight of the gospel of grace shines and God's word mirrors what is there, you will see that there is so much that needs attending in the dust of your heart. When Donald Gray Barnhouse went to Asia, he was on a preaching mission. And one hot day after an early morning mission, he went into his room to lie down. He lay down on his bed, and as he was beginning to drift off, he heard a strange noise. And he raised up a little, and the noise stopped, and so he lay back down, and he heard the noise again, but too tired and weary to even think about it, he went to sleep. 3 hours later, he woke up and he heard the noise again in his suitcase. And he went into the living room where other guests were staying, and he told some of the natives about it, and their laughter and their gaiety turned to fear and seriousness as they got a long rake and went into his room, and they grabbed his suitcase at one end of the rake and they pulled it outside. They, with the rake, opened the suitcase, and a cobra some 7-8 feet long slithered out. They beat it to death. My point is this. There is a cobra in your suitcase. Your old nature is your cobra. And it will kill you. And it will make you a slave. Unless you are a spiritual man. For every one of us here this morning is either serving his cobra or he is a slave to Jesus Christ. Everyone has a dusty heart. The question is, to what degree is your heart dusty? Today is Nehemiah Sunday. Did you know that? Do you know what that means? That means those of you who signed up to clean up a part of the church, today is the day for you to go check it out and to make sure that it's done, and then report to Jack Blackburn or Betty Batson if that area is not being taken care of. I hope you'll do it. Nehemiah Sunday is the time to clean out. Maybe this is the day and time for you to sweep the room. What are symptoms of dust gathering in your own life or in your own heart? What are the symptoms of being a carnal Christian? I'm well aware that there may be some, as there have been some in history, who do not think that it's possible to be a Christian and to be carnal. I used to think that until the past several years in studying Scripture and witnessing and seeing Christians and knowing my own heart. There are some of you who are not spiritual men. There are some of us who are but carnal men and women. We look good. We smell good. We dress correctly. Occasionally we come to church. But we are men and women of the flesh and not of the Spirit of God. What are the symptoms? When your heart has become a slave to the old nature. Well, the first thing is this. When I no longer have a spirit of forgiveness toward other Christians. You know, I could talk about the truly carnal sins. I could talk about child abuse. I could talk about the media. I could talk about profanity. I could talk about sexual immorality and perversion. And that's what we always think about when we think of carnal. But dear friends, when the Bible uses the term carnal, it is not talking about sex or the body. It is talking about a principle of life that is oriented toward this world and the old nature. I want to spotlight how you can act like a carnal person, or I. When I no longer have a spirit of forgiveness toward other Christians, Paul said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Dear friend, if I refuse to forgive a brother or sister in Christ of any crime they may have done against me, am I not carnal? When it is no longer my goal to live at peace with all men. Hebrews says, let it be your ambition to make $1 million. To be the greatest, the prettiest, the most powerful, the greatest athlete. Let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men. If it is no longer my purpose to be at one with my brother in Christ, I am no longer a spiritual man. Thirdly, another symptom of carnality is when I am not developing love toward my brother. Look at Romans 13:11. Verse 10. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Who can expound on that? Who can elaborate on that? Dear friends, if you want to be a spiritual man or woman or young person, you love your neighbor, for then you will fulfill the law of God. Fourthly, when I have a self-serving attitude, I become a carnal man. When I ask myself, how will this profit me? How will this benefit me? Will it make me look good? Will it do something for me? Will it help my pocketbook or my reputation? A good principle is that which Jesus taught in Matthew 7:12. Whatever you want others to do for you, that is exactly what you should do for them. When I allow evil to exist in my heart unchecked, when I find loopholes to sin, whether it's a magazine, whether it's a tantalizing picture, whether I hear something, whether I am teased by a situation. Dear Christian, Paul said in Romans 7, sin killed me. John Owen, the great Puritan, said, you must be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. There's no two ways. There are no two ways about it. The insidious problem with one little sin is that it never remains one little sin. It will take over. And so the room gathers more dust and more dust. There is another even more subtle principle of becoming a carnal person. And that is when I am able, or when I think that I am doing the work of the Lord, and yet I do it in the strength of the flesh or in the arm of the flesh. If I apply the principles of just secularism and materialism and the way of the world to the church, and I go about, whether I do my preaching or I go about a session meeting or a deacon meeting, and those meetings have not been saturated with prayer, and they have not been turned over to God, that when something arises, the first thought, let's go to God. Am I not just a carnal man, not a spiritual man? Well, the acid test as to whether you're carnal or spiritual is this. Simply ask yourself, am I carnal or spiritual? You see, Paul's conclusion was in 7:14, I am carnal. You know, nowhere does Paul say I'm spiritual. If you answered that question and said I'm spiritual, or rather I should say, a spiritual man is the first to say, I see the gathering dust. I am carnal. But then the spiritual man will say to himself, I don't like it. I don't want it. I want to be a spiritual man. Is that your desire? A spiritual man does not presumptuously inspect the rooms of other Christians. He does not point out this one or that one and say the dirty room or what is happening. He is so preoccupied with the filth and the dirt in his own dusty heart that he knows he's got to clean that. How about you this morning? Those of you who are going to be ordained and installed deacons, does the dusty heart need to be swept? What do you want to be, deacon? What do you want to be, elder? What do you want to be, church member? Carnal or spiritual? Any dusty hearts today?
Let's pray.
Our Father God, we do thank you for your promise that though our hearts indeed are dusty and though we try to cleanse them by obedience to the law merely or by the work of the flesh, they can only be cleansed by the grace of God. We confess, Lord, that we are carnal, that we are men and women who do things we do not want and who fail to do the very things that we want to do. Lord, cleanse us and forgive us. Help every and each Christian here to take the broom of grace and apply the water of the gospel in his own heart, that each man and each woman and young person may be a spiritual man or woman and not carnal. That this church may be a spiritual church and not carnal. And that our testimony would be spiritual and not carnal. For we ask it in the strong and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.